Amazing, amazing. I'm so thankful that they had, we gave them the opportunity to sing that song, amen? That is easily one of my top three favorite songs of all time, that song, Give Us This Day. Thank you again, ladies. Beautiful job. It's good to be in God's house today, amen? I want you all to say a prayer for Pastor Taylor and Pastor Wright. They're away, and I want you to remember them in your prayers as they travel back safely. They'll be back this coming week. Numbers do lie. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask that you will give us this day our daily bread that you said you would. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite shows that used to come on ESPN, I'm a sports buff, and one of my new favorite shows, this one is no longer on the air. But one of my favorite shows is called First Take. Anybody, any of my guys here love First Take? I don't miss a First Take at all. I listen to it every day at work. I have my podcast on while I'm doing things, fixing up things, and I have them. I listen to First Take every day. But this show came out a couple years ago, and it talked about numbers all in sports. The numbers. And if you all know about sports, sports are centered around, and the best players always seem to have the best statistics. But a lot of times, those numbers do lie. Because then you could get down to who's the best player in the crunch time. I mean, they have so many analytics, it's like you need a master's PhD degree to keep up with all these things. These guys go deep in baseball, especially baseball. I think that's the number one sport that highlights and emphasizes all about the statistics. You know, it talks about batting percentage, and then the NBA, you got points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game. Then, I mean, there's this weird analytics like how many times your team scores when that player is on the court. I mean, it goes so deep in these numbers. But a lot of times, a team might be number one in defense, number one in offense, all these different kind of things, but at the end of the year, more times than not, they don't end up winning the championship. Even though the numbers show you that they potentially should win. So a lot of times these numbers are getting thrown out at us, and we're going to spend a lot of time this morning on the numbers. Amen? So this is one of my favorite shows. And let me go over what we're going to talk about today. And I apologize for the font. I thought it would come out better. In the natural world, numbers are vital to everything that we do. Okay? And then point number two is that what God values is not the same as what the world values. Okay? And then we're going to wrap up about and talk about how God measures us. Okay? Let's keep going here. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible says, but the natural man, the worldly man, the carnal man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? So whatever you know of the world, and whatever you define the world as, these things, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that today. Now, I always like starting with definitions. As a noun, numbers mean the sum, total, count, or aggregate of a collection of units or the like. Okay? As a verb, it means to mark or distinguish by numbers. I'm going somewhere today. The numbers in our world today, they're everywhere. Everywhere we look right now, I'm looking at a clock here. You know, there's things, there's miles per hours, signs on the road, all these different kind of numbers. and like I like this number, and I try to build good habits in my life. Amen. Anybody hear about trying to build good habits? Somebody working on a habit right now, and they kind of calculated that it takes 21 days to form a habit. Okay? You know, my wife and I are working on something right now. We got this, the 21-day challenge. Okay? But we got to do it every single day to form that habit, to solidify it. It's one of those things that has been proven right over and over again. Okay? Talk about numbers. Oh, boy. How long can humans live without? And this kind of clued me in. We as human beings, there's certain numbers that we have to make sure we pay close attention to. Okay? Now, and it's hard to see, but it says food, we can live about a month. Okay? Without food, we could go about a month. Okay? Now, without water, we all know about 7 days at the longest. Okay? So we got to drink water. Now, sleep, I didn't know this, but you could literally die if you, for whatever reason, found yourself staying up past 4 to 5 days. Did y'all know? I didn't know that. Wow. You know, so some of y'all in class is studying. I know Brother Fabian. Where's my brother? I know he's here. And I know he's just finishing up school, man. And I know how it was. You sleeping in the library. You know, all you smell, you all over, you go home, you smell like the wet books. That's how hard you're studying. I mean, just studying. But you got to watch out, students. We got to be careful. We got to get our sleep. Our brain needs sleep. Okay? Now, and I put it up here, and I put it up here for the teenagers. Teenagers, it says, how long can you live without the internet? Couple of hours. Now it says people. But I wonder how long the teenager could go without the internet. Without that connection to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I mean, I wonder how long before they just pass out. We just see them on the road, just on the curb, somewhere laid out. Like, whoa, what happened here? Internet, no data. You know what I mean? We got to watch out. Young people, y'all got to be careful now. Y'all got to balance things out. Okay? Now, we know. Every teenager in here, teenagers agree with me now. How many of y'all like money? Where my teenagers at? Y'all, I know y'all. See y'all pretending in front of me now. It's okay. But they love money, and it reminds me of a time I'll never forget this. And you talk about importance of money. Me and my family, we were downtown. I was about, I'd say probably 11 or 12 years old, right? And we were downtown D.C. It was like during this time, it wasn't as chilly as it is now, but it was downtown with the cherry blossoms. And the whole family went downtown. We were walking around, and you know how they have the vendors, right? And they have the vendors all around the street, all down the street. And mom said, okay, I want you to go and get some food for us, and I want you to bring the change back, okay? So mom, she didn't have any other change, so she ends up giving me a $50 bill, okay? Right, so I get the 50, okay. Boom, okay, time to get some food. So I walk over to the vendor, and, you know, I can't even remember now what we got. So I got the food, got the change, didn't count it or look at it, came back, gave it to mom, right? Then later on that night, mom says, I say, where's the rest of the change? I said, mom, what are you talking about? No, in fact, it wasn't that night. It was like early, later on that afternoon. And she's looking, and she's like, okay, well, where's the rest of the change? And I'm like, yeah, well, that's all they gave me. They gave me change like I gave them a $20 bill as opposed to a $50 bill. And so my heart sank so low. And I felt bad. We even went back looking for the vendor. Y'all already know. Everybody gone. The whole street empty. Everybody just gone. And so I felt so bad. So now you know what I do. Young people, I want to make sure y'all pay attention. Make sure you check your change and receipt. Make sure you get everything you pay for, and the change should come back. Amen? So we got up these numbers we got to pay attention to. Now this is one thing that breaks my heart today. Young people looking for a summer job. How many young people are here looking for a summer job? They're looking for a summer job, trying to get some work, some income. Parents, don't you spoil them now, especially the young men. Make sure they go and get a job. Make sure they earn some money so the stuff that they do end up buying or you help them buy, they'll appreciate it a little bit more. Amen? Okay. We're going to keep going, but I'm not going to beat y'all up today now. But I want y'all to remember, we got to help our young people build a self-confidence and the ability to achieve a goal, you know, and especially as a teenager. You got to build it into them and not just give them everything that they ask for. Let them earn it. Okay, I got a few amens. I'll take it. Okay? But they categorize, and when they're looking for the summer job, the first thing they look at is age. Then they look at work experience. But a lot of times, what? We don't have no work experience. We teenagers. You know? So they get put down a notch, and they can't really get anything. And they hopefully volunteer hours. Hopefully that kind of plugs in and kind of bolsters them up. Okay? Then GPA, I'm going to get to this later. Because they don't really have any kind of numbers to put you above all the other teenagers. So they don't, it's like a lot of times they don't go anywhere past these numbers. I'm going somewhere. Now, in the world, how does the world often define this success? You know, if a teacher, we got the Nielsen ratings. I didn't realize that once these ratings hit, these ratings that the Nielsen report gives are worth billions of dollars. Billions. About the success or unsuccess of whatever TV show that's going on. And if you really knew what these Nielsen ratings are, it's not so much as an exact specific number that, okay, I don't know, 50 million people are watching this TV show right now. What they do is they kind of average it out. They average it out, and they put only 5,000 of these Nielsen boxes in people's homes, and these people volunteer. They get a little bit of money to volunteer to be part of this thing, and they whatever they watch, the Nielsen report synchronizes whatever the box tells them. It sends it up to their database, and they calculate these Nielsen numbers. Okay, and the group or the age group that they most are focused on are the ages of 18, 34. They really don't care what everybody else is watching. They know, how come? Because they know once you become 18, you end up more times than not, you have an income, and so they know they can advertise to you and all these other kind of things. So it goes on and on and on. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Now, and a lot of times, young people are focused on, they get ready to graduate. I know Tommy and Masango, they're getting ready to graduate. We got some seniors here. Okay, amen. We're going to pray for them. Amen. Our seniors, I know Brother Joel Black is another senior, and Isaac, we got a couple others. Not too many this year. But they get ready to graduate. And when they graduate, they're looking for the degrees. Now, these are the top five highest paying degrees of 2015. Okay? In 2015, it all starts engineering, computer science, math and science, business, and then it goes down into agriculture, natural resources. And it tells you, based on what degree you have, how much you could expect to earn over a lifetime. Okay? And a lot of times, teenagers, they haven't figured out what they really want to do, so more times than not, they're going to find a degree that pays the most. Okay? Now, sometimes that could be good, sometimes that could be bad. And I'm going to talk about that. And we, as adults, okay, a lot of us are focused on this right here. What is our net worth? We got assets, and then most of us got too much of this. You know, amen, I'm just telling y'all, I got them. And we got to pay them off, okay? So we got assets minus liabilities equals our net worth. Net worth. So based on what this number tells me, am I not as worthy or overly worthy than everybody else? We going somewhere today. Point number two. What God values is not the same as what the world does. It's like living in a different country, and the other country has a different set of currency. They have a different, how the power outlets are different. Anybody here from overseas? So, you know, you go overseas with this plug that you have in the U.S., you go over there, ain't nothing happening. You ain't being charged anything. That phone is going to be dead. So you better go and get an adapter so you can plug your stuff up, because it's completely different. Same way as the way God values things are completely different from what the world values. It's like as the East, as far as the East is from the West, as is God's estimation of how he values certain things, and especially how he values you and I. Okay? Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm going to need y'all to go there with me. There's Bibles there, and I didn't put them up on the screen. I want y'all to go with me. It's important to get a visual and an auditory impact of what the Word of God says. Amen? So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to read about this very popular, familiar story. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16. When you found it, say amen. Okay. So there's a lot going on in this chapter, especially in the chapter before. Okay? Saul and Samuel breaks it down for Saul, because you didn't do what God told you to do all the way, you're no longer going to be king. And Saul got upset. He snatched the garment off Samuel, and Samuel broke it down and said, Samuel, and Saul, the same way you snatched this garment off me, the same way the kingdom is going to be snatched away from you. He's going to no longer be king. Okay? So we're going with verse 1. And so the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided a king among his sons. Okay? So God tells Samuel, hey, get over it. Saul dropped the ball. He's not the man anymore. I need you to go and anoint me a new king. Okay? So Samuel gets up, and he's a little nervous. Verse 2, he says, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou wilt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Okay? Now, let me jump down to verse 6. This is where it gets good. This is where I want y'all to pay attention to, church. Right here. Verse 6. And it came to pass when... Let me back up here. Okay, verse 6, I'm sorry. And it came to pass when they were come. So Jesse and the family show up, right? And he looked on Eliab and said, surely this is the Lord's anointed before him. And my question is, why surely, Samuel? How come? But see, if we read what Ellen White talks about in this story, Eliab was the tallest one out of the whole family. And he kind of looked like, he might have been built and kind of looked like, I don't know, somebody like LeBron James or something. He just walked up in there. Oh man, he must have played ball. Y'all know how it is. I mean, just because you're tall, don't automatically assume a brother or whoever it is, a sister, can play ball. Don't assume, you know. And I mean, I work in the middle school all day long. How tall are you? Can you dunk? All this kind of stuff. Fred, I know Pastor Fred knows exactly what I'm talking about. And you just get these stigmas and attachments. Now, you know, I did love playing basketball, no question about it. And I could dunk. I challenged myself. I challenged myself that by age 40, I still want to be able to dunk. So I'm working on it. I'm pushing myself. Amen. So I'm getting there. I'm not, you know, I'm going to practice with these guys. I'm going to show them something in practice. I'm going to show them something. Okay. So Samuel got caught up the same way. If you remember, if you go back and read how Saul was anointed king, he was also the tallest one. And he had like a kingly stature. You know, he kind of fit the part. And so Eliab walks up and Samuel says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But if we read in the chapter 61 of Patriarchs and Prophets, Ellen White says that Eliab, had he been anointed king of Israel, that he would have been a proud and exacting king. Because when you look at the outward only, and when you judge someone based on some kind of number, you're missing out on probably the most important thing. This is vital, church. This is vital. Let me keep going. And let me read this quote here. Boy, oh boy, this is powerful stuff here. No outward beauty can recommend the soul to God. The wisdom and excellence revealed in the character and deportment how you do things, young people. The deportment expresses the true beauty of the man or woman. It is the inner worth, the excellency of the heart that determines our acceptance with the Lord of hosts. So the Bible says, and right there in verse 7, and it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The world, listen, it's mandatory, and the world has absolutely no other way to judge and label and put in categories anybody without numbers. They have to associate a number with you so they know how to categorize you and where to put you. The church has a different criteria for judging and discerning value that God places on times, events, and especially, more specifically, on people. Church, we can't get caught up in any kind of number of anybody that walks in here and automatically make assumptions and presume about that person based strictly on what's going on the outside. That is dangerous. Because if you read and understand, Judas was taller than all the other disciples, and he had that kind of kingly stature. And we know what he did. So we have it here. So Samuel, he goes and he anoints who? Now, verse 8, let's finish the story. And then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by and said, Lord, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. There remains the one they didn't trust for whatever reason to bring before Samuel the prophet. So even Jesse himself put David in a category, not in the same category with his other brothers. What did David have going on that all of a sudden he didn't get to participate and be part of potentially, you know, maybe, you don't, nobody knew. They didn't know why Samuel even showed up. But why not give David an opportunity? Church, just because young people are young don't mean they don't deserve an opportunity. Because if we understand, listen, if we go to the very next chapter, then Goliath shows up. And if David was an anointed king, but Ellen White says that the anointing and the Holy Spirit fell on David. And all of a sudden, the next chapter, Goliath shows up. And when Goliath shows up, all the other soldiers and everybody else got shook. And it was a young person that stepped up to the plate. The young person stepped up to Goliath and said, who are you to call out and talk bad about my God? We need to give the young people an opportunity to step up. When we did our focus groups, we got all the feedback. All they wanted was an opportunity to be up here. All they wanted was an opportunity to be up here, but at the same time, don't judge and label them. Over and over, we have, you know, we heard from them. Only if you get to know me. These aren't criminals that we're dealing with. We've got great young people here at Tacoma Park. You don't have to be scared to go and walk up to him and say, hey, hello, how you doing? What's your name? Before you... Let me keep going. I'm not done. I got a lot more. God looks at the heart. That's what he does. But young people, we need to be careful. We need to make sure that when he looks at the heart and see young people say stuff like, only God can judge me, all this kind of stuff. Are you sure that you want to happen? Because God looks and sees all this going on right here with not even no kind of, there's no buffer, there's no anything. He looks straight down and sees exactly what you got going on. He looks and sees the wrong motives. He looks and sees the wrong attitudes. He looks and sees the wrong moral and how we judge and base certain situations on what we're going to do. He sees all of that, and he sees the wrong behavior. We need to give God the opportunity to see our heart. Then he says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Even though you have all these bad things going on with you, I'm going to send. I got something for that. I'm not discouraged or hurt or upset or surprised by anything you have going on in your heart. Things that you will never say to anybody else. You'll never share. All God wants you to do is be honest. And I'm going ahead of myself, but let's keep going. So I just read the quote. See, this is what God has for young people. This is the promise. This is the challenge. He says, church, let no one, so he says, young people, let no one despise you for your youth, but young people, if you want opportunity, this is what God's calling you to do. Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So God is looking for young people. For whatever reason, the adults, we stumbling and bumbling. We're making mistakes. We didn't even make it out of the promised land. But God says, I need the young people to take over. Joshua, come here. I need you to take my people to the next level. And young people, it's going to be you. It's going to be you that takes this church to the next level. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Cecil. It's going to be you guys. All we got to do is give them an opportunity. And Cecil and I, we're working. We're doing things together. And Tony and all my other youths, Emanuela, Tashilia. Who else am I forgetting? We just working. We're working and working to plan and to organize and to teach and encourage and be examples for them so they know what it looks like on how to serve. Let's keep going. I love this one. And young ladies, I want y'all to listen to this. Young adult ladies, especially. I want y'all to listen. I found this. Beauty is not determined by the man that are attracted to you. Beauty begins in the heart and radiates outwardly. Young ladies, I want to say something. You looking for that man? You got to be the woman of God that God's called you to be. And the man of God, and see what it says here. There are God-fearing men out there who know that. Stop believing what the world says. Ain't no good men out here. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's good. It's God-fearing men out there. You don't have to go and settle and make all kind of bad choices and bounce around from relationship to relationship. Be the woman of God so the man of God can recognize the woman of God in you and so he can be attracted to that. Amen. I promise you, young ladies, I promise you. Listen, men want a woman of God. They might be jive turkeys. Huh? They might be jive turkeys, but when they really get themselves right, they looking for that woman of God. Amen. That's what attracts them to you. Not by what you're wearing and what you're not wearing. Oh, boy. Now, let me go to the teens now. What teenagers tend to value themselves with. Now, I'm looking for, I don't see Jonathan, but either, there's a lot of y'all young people, they love shoes. I'm not mad at them loving shoes. These are the new, hold on. I wrote it down. Let me read it. This is important. Okay? These are the Air Jordan 7s. The Barcelona Knights. They came out today. Some of the young people already know about this. They already know. I see Kyle nodding his head over here. They know exactly when these kind of shoes come out. These things are valuable. Again, but see what I'm telling you? Parents, listen, it's okay for them. If they want to spend their money on this, go ahead and do it. You know, but you got to teach them, you know, how to put a little bit aside for tithe, some aside for savings. But if they want to spend it on that, let them do it. It's okay. But the problem is, do they attach their self-worth and value to what they have on their feet? I know this is true because it's all kind of young people and young men especially. I mean, they will rob, kill, harm anybody to do whatever they got to do to get a pair of these latest shoes. Because their identity is attached to these things. Who they, how they feel on the inside. And they can say, oh, these cost $249.99. So my worth and value based on what I wear on my feet. Now, parents, I don't want y'all to get the wrong idea. Young people, y'all need to study. Amen? Y'all need to study. I tell them all the time, all you got to do is do all your homework. Do all your homework, get a B. Huh? Just turn all the homework in, you get a B. And work hard and study. But your worth and value is not associated and attached to only this number. This is dangerous. It's dangerous. Listen. And I got it up here. So a lot of then young people, when all of a sudden, young ladies, when you look in the mirror, you say stuff like this. Oh, I'm not talented. I'm not pretty enough. All these kind of things. They beat themselves up. I'm not smart enough. All these labels. And they lower their estimation of themselves. And when you lower your estimation of yourself, you start doing and saying things and going places that you ordinarily wouldn't go all of a sudden to make yourself feel better and to feel more worthy of yourself. And you end up in relationships you have no business in. You go places with these other group of friends. You know they're knuckleheads. You know they jive turkeys. You know you need to go the other way. But you say stuff like, I don't have any other friends. And it's my group of friends. There's five of them. And if I don't hang with them, what about me? And then this bullying thing, this whole bullying epidemic. I believe God's people and our children should not be bothered whatsoever with this whole bullying situation. Because parents, you've done your job by pouring worth and self-value and confidence and purpose and direction and love into your young people. So when they don't have to go outside for anybody to give them accolades or to slap them on their back. We have to do it here, church. So they don't go out in the world looking for applause, looking for somebody to approve of them. This is dangerous. And parents, even when you think you've done enough, do some more. Every day you see them, I love you. You're awesome. You can do it. I'm proud of you. We got to pour it into them and pour it into them and pour it into them. And we got to build their self-esteem up from the inside out. We can't let the world give our young people value. It's dangerous. And then when they go to Facebook, and see, I'm getting ready to work on another sermon called The Soul in Cyberspace. Okay? You see, a lot of young people, and there are statistics to prove that based on how often young people and young adults stay on these social media networks, determines directly where their worth and self-value are. Because they're always looking on Facebook. They're always on Twitter and Instagram. How many likes did I get? How many retweets did I get? How many mentions did I get? Then all of a sudden, wow, today I got 100 likes. Yes! And then later on the next day, 20. So you see, the truth will make you cry. I know some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know, and it gets, and then, you see, spiritual issues don't expire. This is the problem. You think you had the issue? Oh, I was a teenager when I had that issue. It's okay now. You 35, you have the same issue because it's spiritual. Unless you deal with it here, it's going to stay with you your whole life. It's spiritual. These things don't expire. They don't have an expiration date. That's why Jesus got to come in and heal you up. God gave me this. This is it right here. The moment we allow any number to give us self-worth and value, we are setting ourselves up to be depressed, manipulated, and led away from God's purpose and plan for your life. It's like standing up on a wobbly chair when you associate and attach your worth and self-value to a number. One day. But we need to give ourselves solid footing. We need to give our young people solid footing. So they don't have to go out here in the world and perform and do things that they would never do. Because they're looking for something. They're desperate for something. They're thirsty for something. I got a lot more right here. A number or numbers may describe you, but they do not define you. Those things might describe the external. It might describe how you got to this point. But there's always more to a story. Just like every face in here is different, there's to your story that you bring to the table that if we would only get to know you. That's the call of the young people. Oh, just get to know me. You might see my pants sagging. You might see my tight skirt. But there's something to the story. And it took me 10 years, Cecil, to figure this part out. It took me 10 years to figure out that, you know, we're preaching, we're teaching, we're here with them Friday night, TV talk, all these times, different times. And you swear up and down. I know I used to leave the press from Sabbath school and all kind of stuff. Man, these young people ain't listening to me. I'll tell you what, they don't want to hear anything I got to say. I was depressed, y'all. But then all of a sudden, you know, years later or weeks later or something, young people can say, well, I say, didn't you just say something? I'm like, y'all were listening? Y'all parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They swear up and down. You look at them, and it's just like one in one ear, out the other. I promise you, it took me 10 years to figure it out in youth ministry, but they do listen. Just like when they say, oh, mom, get off me. Stop kissing on me. They go in the room like, yeah, mom, you know, she appreciates me, you know. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, come on. They need it from you, parents. Parents, you are the first youth pastor. You're the first youth pastor in that home. Before they show up one day here at Tacoma Park, you're that pastor. You're the pastor, elder, you know, deacon, everything to that young person. And they need to hear it from you, and we could come behind them, you all, and then confirm the word that God has given you, and we confirm it. And we give them extra encouragement. We give them extra bolstering up. And we it's like we're putting a jetpack on them for their future. And we're fueling it. And we're fueling it. So when it's time to take off, man, they out of here. They out of this world with promise. I don't believe the word potential is not found in the word of God. Promise is. And our young people are full of promise. Don't you ever doubt the young people. Don't you ever doubt the promise that God can put in them and that he has birthed in them. And then when they come out of that baptismal pool, the Holy Spirit comes into them and they get to take off and do awesome things. The Bible says, greater works than these shall ye do. And that's through the young people. Who you are is received. Not achieved. Now this right here, I knew it was going to be quiet today. I knew it because this is humbling. Some of us have worked our whole life to wait for somebody's applause and somebody to slap us on our back. And so we can put all these letters behind our name so we can feel validated and valued. But what happened all that time before you got those things? Were you worth nothing then? That's not in the Word of God. God judges things on a whole different scale. Whole different scale. Oh. You aren't what's been done to you, but what Jesus has done for you. Yeah. That's the word of God. I promise you. It's all about what Jesus has done. He doesn't even remember what you did that was so wrong. He don't even remember it. He promised that he would throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Not what's been done to you. I got more. What you do doesn't determine who you are, but who you are determines what you do. If I never preach another sermon, whatever series or whatever I preach or teach, this is what I want to preach or teach on. Building up the young people from the inside out. So the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Parents, it's a challenge. It's hard. I'm not a parent, but I work with young people for a little bit, so I can understand. It's difficult. It's way harder than when I was a teenager. This weekend is Tacoma Academy's Alumni Weekend. This is my, you know, I'm an old head. It's okay. 20-year anniversary. This weekend. Huh? And 20 years ago, it's not the same as it is today. It's way more intense. Parents, we pray for y'all, and we got to continue to pray for y'all. It's difficult, but God is able. God is able. God can pour into you what you need so you can give to those young people what they need. Amen. He can do it. God values you. One of my favorite texts, but God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of value he gives us. That's what he pours into us. That has never changed from day one. Listen, church. The word of God and the kingdom of God works on addition and multiplication and exponential. Listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added unto you. God is all about addition. Listen, 5 loaves and 2 fish? God ain't worried about it. I can feed 5,000 with that. I can take your little and multiply it and take it to a whole nother level. God's not worried about numbers. We limit God. We put God in a box like he can't do X, Y, Z. I mean, all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Listen, and then with the talents, listen. Young people, listen to me. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. Just like these young ladies sang a beautiful song. They use their gifts and talents to glorify and bring glory to God. Amen. And listen, God says, listen, I want you to be the head and not the tail. God always, I don't care what the salary is for that degree or that job you may end up having in, you serve God, you be obedient to his will, and he'll rise you to the top in that career. He doesn't care. He's not limited by anything. He'll rise you to the top so he can get glory and that you can get joy and satisfaction out of using your spiritual gifts to bring his name the honor and glory he deserves. God has a purpose for you, young people. He doesn't care about what the world labels and judges you. He knows what he created you for, and he did it on purpose. God has never one time in eternity said, oops. Here are the gifts. Oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait. I want God to give me. We got 9 young people in our baptismal class right now. And I can't wait. And I'm praying now so that God can help me and the pastor kind of help me organize and put this together so we can immediately start pouring into them and giving them idea and parents, you could confirm what their spiritual gift is. Because the minute they come out of that pool, the Holy Spirit's in them and that gift is activated. Okay, so we got serving, we got giving, mercy, prophecy, teaching. This is my gift here, teaching and exhortation, okay? And we got pastoral, we got miracles, administration, healing. All these gifts need to be in operation in the last days. This is what God's been waiting for. He wants his gifts to be in operation, and guess what? These gifts are not for the church, it's for out there in the world. You understand? So when we do what we need to do, we have the equipment and the opportunity and the skill to go and effectively minister here at Tacoma Park. Let me keep going. And young ladies, it bothers my spirit when I hear this kind of stuff. Oh, I got to hurry up. The clock is ticking. I got to hurry up and get married. This is dangerous. See, again, I'm telling y'all, when you start putting numbers on and you're pushing God out the way and you're putting numbers on things, come on. You think God can't bring that man of God to you? And stop going looking for him, young ladies. What you doing going looking for that man? That's not found in the word of God. That man is supposed to find you. He that finds a good wife finds a good thing. Anybody read the Bible like? Oh, young, I'm praying. Your older women in the church that have followed the Lord a long time, oh, I wish y'all would help me be honest and talk to these young ladies. Help me be honest and tell them, listen, I know what it's like to rush ahead of God and rush ahead and make all kinds of decisions and end up with some jive turkey and then waste years and years of my life and then come back and say, man, I wish I had trusted God. Man, I wish I hadn't rushed ahead and believed this lie. Numbers do lie. We got to trust God. Amen? Amen. Let me finish this up. See, listen, again, numbers over and over. I didn't even give it justice, but God had Peter in Acts chapter 2, they were in the upper room. Remember, the Holy Spirit fell down. They came out and they started preaching and teaching. All of a sudden, are these guys drunk? No, they full of the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, 3,000 got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They saved and delivered and set free. God's not worried about numbers. He's just worried about you giving him an opportunity to put his Holy Spirit in you and be activated for service. Your orders, Lord Jesus, that's what should be our call. See, God versus the world. God versus the world. That's the challenge, church. This is what God has called us to do, to stand completely polar opposite of what the standards of the world that they have. But not that we're judging and criticizing. Oh, we come with compassion. We come with love. Because right in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about all the spiritual gifts. And he says, but he puts it in there. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. So he says, here are all the gifts, but now we need the love. Church, we need the love. And as we close, this is where it's gonna get, this is where I'm going somewhere with this. And if I could get somebody to just come and play for us. Somebody in this church has a number. They've had a number that's been associated with them, or that they've associated with themselves as far as their worth and self-value, that God is not into it. And God knows what has happened to you. He knows. And the Bible says, in all your afflictions, he was afflicted. He knows how many times you got fired from that job. Men, I'll never forget how I felt when I graduated from Howard University. And I went down to the unemployment office. They didn't have anything for me. And I felt this high. But God had a plan for me. God is not limited. And it was because of somebody that I knew in this church that got me my first job. I've been with PG County Public Schools the last 13 years because of what this church, and the person recognized the gift in me. They recognized it here. And I've been working with PG County ever since. God needs you, church. And he needs you to pour life and purpose into the young people along with the parents. But there's a number. There's a number. It might have been how many times you got fired. It might have been how many young people, might have been how many times you flunked that class. And you feel lower. You value yourself lower than what God does. And for whatever reason, you can't break free. You know, he knows how many sexual partners you've had. He knows. And you don't feel great about it. But I'm here to tell you today, God has forgiven you. He said, all he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and will forgive us our sins, all of them, and purify us from all unrighteousness. All he says is do is just confess it. Just confess it. He knows some of us have been in here, are in here, have been abused multiple times, physically, sexually, mentally, multiple times. He knows. And whatever reason, you're not able to break from that. And the devil keeps whispering. No man's gonna want you. Look at what's happened to you. Once they find out, they'll never want you. That's the devil. The devil's a liar. That's the devil. And I want to give anybody here, I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I believe that somebody in here has a number. It might have just been that one time somebody put their hands on you in an inappropriate way. And it's like your life has never moved forward. When you sleep at night, you think about what happened. Every relationship gets stained, and it's that bitterness spills out. And it stains every new relationship because of that number. I'm going to invite Pastor Fred to come up with me. Pastor Fabian, come on up here. I want them to stand right here because I believe there's somebody that needs to come up and get special prayer. There's a number that the devil has played a script over and over in your head. You're no good. You have no worth and value because of this number. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free. Somebody today, we want to give you the opportunity to come up front and let us pray for you. Let's pray for you. There's a number. There's a number, but God is not worried about numbers. He's not stuck on numbers. He wants to set you free today. God bless you. Is there anybody else? You know what that number is. You know what it is. You know exactly what it is. But God wants freedom today. He wants to set you free today. Is there anybody else? You don't have to tell anybody. We're going to pray for you. There's a number. But numbers do lie about your self-worth and value and what heaven sees. God says he sees. The shepherd left the 99 and came to go get that one. The woman in the house, she lost one of the coins. She swept the whole house until it was found. The prodigal son, two sons, both of them lost, but God still loved both of them. The father was still there for both of them, and he's here for you today. Is there anybody else? Young people, is anybody? There's a number that that somebody or something happened, and they've associated with you, and you've kind of repeated it over and over in your head, and you feel like you'll never get over that situation, that abuse, whatever it was. God is calling you today to let it go. Give it to him. He went to the cross for all those numbers that have been associated with you. He took them all to the cross. Every single one. If you need to forgive a parent for how many years they weren't in your life. How many years you haven't heard one peep from dad. You need to forgive your dad. You forgive him. I know it's impossible. I know it's impossible. You think that there's no way I can let him off the hook. But God wants to set you free today. He wants to set you free today. Is there one more? We're going to close. And church, bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just want to thank you for never associating any number with us except for one. And that's you said, and we know that you would have sent Jesus to die for us, even if it was just one of us that sinned. We thank you for the worth and value that you've given us. You love us with an everlasting love. You're not held back by how many sins we've committed. All you ask us to do is confess. And Lord, anybody that didn't come up, and Lord, we just want to confess to you today. Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry, Lord, for the things that we've done. And we ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your forgiveness today. Lord, help us to find out our spiritual gift. Help us to find out our true identity in you and nothing that the world associates with us. Those things are good. We should study. We should get jobs that pay and all these kind of things. Those are good. They're important, but not essential. Help us today, Lord, never, ever, ever in a church, help this church to never, ever judge and label and criticize anyone based on a number. All we look at is just one soul that Jesus died for. That's all we're concerned with. Father, again, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said together, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.